Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want them to be light. We want them to be portable. And this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to episode 46 of the Tech Guide, the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest tech news and reviews. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. My name is Stephen Fenwick, editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, we'll kick things off with a story about an Australian filmmaker who won a film festival with a movie he shot with a smartphone. Up next, we'll talk about how much money technical glitches and downtime can cost businesses. And we'll also have a look at the Sony Xperia Tablet Z, which has just gone on pre-sale. In our reviews, the theme is portable speakers, the first from Braavn and the other from JBL, with each including their own unique features. And we'll also chat about the product that can turn your Android device into a digital TV. In the Tech Guide interview, we'll chat with Toshiba's Anthony Geronimo about the new Kira luxury laptop line, and we'll bring it home with the Tech Guide Help Desk, which this week addresses the issue of deciding on the right age for your child to own a mobile phone. And it's all brought to you by our proud sponsors, Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to get through, so let's jump right in. And we'll kick off Tech Guide episode 46 with a story about a filmmaker who has won a film festival, and not just any film festival. He's won the Sundance London Film and Music Festival with a short film that he shot entirely on the Nokia Lumia 920 smartphone. Now, the Nokia Lumia 920 is a Windows Phone 8 device. But one of the highlights of the product, of course, is the amazing camera. It's got a 8.7 megapixel pure view camera. It's got a Carl Zeiss Tessar lens, 26 mil focal length, 8 centimeter minimum focus range. And it was this device that Jason Van Genderen, based in Terrigal on Sydney, New South Wales Central Coast, won this coveted prize. Now, his film was called Red Earth Hip Hop and was shot in some pretty attractive areas of far north Queensland. And he found that using the Nokia Lumia 920, it kind of relaxed his subjects. It's a doco-style short film. And he said that using, rather than having all the big cameras set up and the lights and everything like that, having just the Lumia 920 as his camera, it kind of set his subjects at ease. Now, his movie is about the way that young Indigenous children have used the influence of hip-hop, which originated over in the Bronx, to reconnect with their tribal elders and tell the stories to their tribe using this style of music. So it was quite a visual film, and audiences were stunned to learn that it was actually all shot on a mobile after the film was aired. So if you want to take a look at the film, I've embedded that in my story at techguide.com.au. It's well worth a look. It's only 6.5 minutes long, but you'll be amazed the fact that what he captured on the short film was recorded with a smartphone. So I don't think anyone's got the right to complain about their smartphone camera anymore, although smartphone cameras are quite advanced nowadays, and Nokia are certainly leading the way with their Lumia line. The cameras have always been high quality. That Carl Zeiss lens doesn't hurt the fact either, that it produces some pretty stunning images, and also, of course, as we see here, some pretty impressive video. So if you want to check that out, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, earlier this year, Sony took the wraps off their new Xperia Tablet Z. Now, this was quite an impressive device. Kind of follows the same design cues from the Xperia Z smartphone, which we first saw a few months ago also. the Xperia Z smartphone, for those who haven't heard me talk about it on this podcast or read my reviews at Tech Guide, is a pretty decent smartphone. It's got a 5-inch screen. It's quite thin and light, but I think the killer feature is the fact that the Xperia Z smartphone is waterproof. You can there's a picture in my review that I posted on Tech Guide of the phone switched on. You can see the home screen quite clearly, but it's sitting in a vase filled with water. Now, up comes the new tablet, Tablet Z from Sony. It's a 10.1-inch tablet. In fact, the world's thinnest and lightest 10-inch tablet, I should add, and it is powered by the Mobile Bravia engine. So you can, I've actually seen this in action. There is the screen resolution is quite impressive. It's 1920 by 1200 resolution, which is purely straight into high definition range there. So it looks pretty cool. But as is the case with the Xperia Z smartphone, the Xperia Tablet Z is also waterproof. It is only 6.9 millimeters thick, which is just wafer thin, weighs just 495 grams. So it is, in fact, the world's thinnest and lightest 10-inch tablet. And the good news is pre-orders have started. Pre-orders are now underway. There are links on my story at Tech Guide to if you want to order this tablet. It's a very attractive device, I have to say. Check out the picture on my story. The prices start at $539 for the 16-gig Wi-Fi Tablet Z, moving up to $649 for the 32-gig Wi-Fi. There is a 4G version with 16-gig built-in memory for $679. But Sony have also got a limited edition one-touch edition. There's only 50 of these sets available, and each of these sets, this one-touch collection, has the Xperia Tablet Z, the Xperia Z smartphone, and the MDR one-touch NFC-enabled headphones. Now, because the Tablet Z and the Xperia Z smartphone both have NFC, now using the MDR NFC headphones, one tap on the NFC plate on both those devices, on the back of the device, and it instantly pairs those products. So no more fiddling around with the Bluetooth pairing, trying to hold down the buttons and make sure the lights turn a certain color and typing in your four zeros. This just connects with one touch, which is quite handy. But if you wanted to get that one touch collection, you got to get in quick. There's only 50 of those sets available, and they're each priced at $1,499. They'll all, even if you're spending that amount of money, they're even going to be personalized to the owner after purchase. So you may have your name engraved on them or something like that. But they are also underway right now for pre-order if you want to jump in. There's only 50, so you have to be quick. Xperia Tablet Z delivery will be early June the 6th. So if you want to jump in and pre-order it, we'll have a full review of the Xperia Tablet Z at techguide.com.au.
Now, a Tech Guide news update.
Our Tech Guide news update is the result of a survey that was carried out by Dick Smith, and it found that its study was, I think, spoke to about more than 500 respondents, and it was all about the downtime and technical difficulties that can cost businesses money. Now, it is quite alarming when you do consider that, say, the printer's not working, your computer crashes, you've lost all this productivity, you've had all this downtime. But this report reveals that that actually can cost businesses annually up to $1 billion in lost productivity, lost work time. So it really pays to make sure your technology works. Now, the survey showed that a lot of the problem is the fact that companies are using old technology. And by companies, I mean not massive companies. We're talking small businesses here, small to medium-sized businesses, kind of the backbone of Australian business are these small and medium businesses. And if they're the ones having issues and they're costing themselves money, then something needs to be done. Now, as I said, the problem is that old technology, old printers, the networking's not right, backup on hardware rather than in the cloud, little things like that, that I think knowledge is power in this situation, where if they are given, they're shown the new technology and can see the advantage of having that new technology, in this case, products running efficiently, no downtime. The surveys revealed that they're one in five have actually lost a complete day of work trying to get their printer to work, trying to get around the issues they've had. Computer crashes have made people late to meetings and they had to redo documents, and some have even lost the documents altogether. All this added up really does pay a price, not only to our sanity, but also the bottom line. It could cost, as I said, more than $1 billion Australia-wide. Now, one thing that should be pointed out too is that we're coming up to tax time, And there is a way for companies to update their technology and buy new equipment up to the value of $6,500 and get an immediate tax write-off for the full amount for that year. I think that's something that is, a lot of businesses may not know about. The study said that 55% of small business owners weren't even aware of this rebate. So if you do need to update your technology, we're coming up to the right time of year before tax time. This could be your opportunity to do it. So you can spend up to $6,500 and claim back the whole amount, write off the whole amount straight up. So well worth considering. We don't want you to lose any money because you're having technical difficulties or your printer's not running, your computers are crashing. Now's the time to act and save yourself those big dollars. Tech Guide is brought to you by our good friends at Netgear. Now, do you want to experience the very fastest Wi-Fi ever in your home? Well, now you can go faster and further with Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi gear. You can supercharge your home wireless network with the Netgear's wireless AC products, which deliver next generation gigabit Wi-Fi up to three times faster than existing Wi-Fi products. NBN ready and great for streaming HD video, Netgear's family of 802.11 AC products provide increased Wi-Fi coverage, which means you can now use your mobile devices such as tablets and smartphones in every corner of your home. You can even use your new Galaxy S4 or HTC One, which are both 802.11 AC compatible. If you do happen to have that Netgear router, you can have three times increase in the speed on your Wi-Fi network using those products. The Netgear Genie app has had over 2 million downloads, and it makes installation easy and lets you view and play all your digital photos, movies, and music on your smartphone, tablet, PC, or smart TV. To find out more, head over to netgear.com.au/fastest Wi-Fi.
Tech Guide now. A Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick.
Let's kick off what I'm calling the speaker stretch of the podcast, and we're going to start with the Braven speakers, however you want to pronounce that. But no matter how you do pronounce it, you can't argue with the sound quality you get out of these devices. Now, they're about about 15, 18 centimetres wide. They're quite light. They're very portable. But one thing that impresses me, they produce a big sound. Now, there's three products that I've written about on Tech Guide this week. The Braven 570, $149.99. The Braven 650, $199.99. And the Braven BRV1, also $199.99. Now, the 570 and the 650 kind of look almost alike. The 650 has some additional extras, some slightly better Bluetooth quality and better speakers, also larger playtime with a larger battery. Now, the Braven speakers, they're Bluetooth speakers. They connect your smartphone, tablets, and computers wirelessly, can stream very high quality audio. I was very impressed with the output we got from these little speakers. Some pretty respectable bass as well came out of the front grills there. But one thing that the Braven includes is the fact that it's also a charging system. So you can not only take this with you, say, on a trip and have great music, so you can wirelessly stream your music straight to this the speakers. You can also use it as your USB charging device. So you can charge other USB devices like smartphones and tablets and cameras and gaming portable gaming devices. So it's quite a handy dual-use feature, let's say. And not only the speakers are high quality, but you get the USB charging thrown in as well. So the 650 and 570 look kind of identical. There's different colours available. The 650 is slightly more expensive because it's made out of aircraft grade aluminium for a start. That's another differentiator, and has 20 hours of continuous play and charging time. Now the BRV1 though looks completely different. It looks more of a rounded oval shape. But the thing with the BRV1, it's that it's fully waterproof. It's got an IPX5 rating. rating. So if you're, you'd like to spend some time by the pool, down the beach, you're surrounded by water, maybe on a boat, this could be a good solution to stream your music. And again, with pretty high quality, you get up to 12 hours of playback on the device, and it too can be used to recharge your other USB products. So if you're a fan of sound and you're a fan of having your devices powered up as well, the Braavn is well worth a look. And I've written all about them, and you can see pictures and pricing and my reviews at techguide.com.au. Righto, the second half of the speaker stretch is about JBL. Now, these speakers were actually released in conjunction with Nokia. There's actually Nokia branding on these the speakers I'm about to talk about because they work wirelessly with these devices. Now, I'll explain how in a minute, but these are pretty bright color speakers. The first is the JBL PlayUp, which is $199.95. There's also the JBL PowerUp, which is $349.95. Now, the reason Nokia have partnered up with this, they're kind of an accessory you can buy for your Nokia smartphone, is the fact that it offers NFC. So that's that one-touch connection. So you can pair your speakers and your smartphone with a swipe of the phone on the front of the device. There's a little NFC position there. And the JBL PlayUps actually offer very impressive 360-degree sound. They're circular speakers, and they offer that 360-degree sound. Can easily fill a room if you're at home alone or in a hotel room. Can really supply a solid amount of sound, and also with a specially designed port to get some decent bass out of it as well. So one touch with the Nokia Lumia, and you can pair it. I think it will work with some other NFC-enabled phones. The Lumias it'll work with, though, are the 520, 620, 720, and the 920. One thing, though, with the JBL PlayUps, you can't use it as a speakerphone. Yeah, you can, but NFC is still there. So if you receive a call, you're going to have to answer the phone in the normal fashion. The Braavn speakers we spoke about in the previous segment do work as a speakerphone as well. So if you do receive a call on your smartphone, you can answer it. Unfortunately, this JBL PlayUp does not work as a speakerphone. But moving on to the JBL PowerUp. Now, the name may give away what the other function of this speaker is, the PowerUp. Well, no surprise, you can actually charge your device on contact using the Nokia Lumia range of phones. The phones that will work with this device, the Lumia 720, 820, and 920. Now, this also already has NFC, so you can pair your devices wirelessly. But if you want to also charge the device, the NFC standard aboard is a Q1 NFC standard, which works with the Lumias I just mentioned. And you simply need to place the device, the Lumia device, on top of the JBL speakers. There's a picture on Tech Guide. You'll see there's kind of like a landing lights area that the phone can rest, and it will then power your Lumia on contact. And then also, if you want to use NFC, it can also stream your music wirelessly as well. But a handy device to not only hear your music, but also provide some power. And you don't need to reach for any cables because both of them stream music wirelessly, and the JBL PowerUp also powers your devices wirelessly too. Full review if you want to read that, again, at techguide.com.au. Now, last year I spoke about and wrote about a device called the IDTV. Now, this is a little mini set-top box that was released last year for iPhone and iPad. Now, this device is like a tiny little digital set-top box, had a 30-pin dock connector for the iPhone 4S and for the old iPad. It does work, though, if you got that device with an adapter with the 4th-gen iPad and the iPhone 5. And I remember at the time a lot of readers saying, well, what about us? We've got Android devices. We want IDTV as well. Well, your prayers have been answered, and the IDTV for Android is now available. Now, it is a smaller device, still offers the same functionality, will turn your Android device, your smartphone, your tablet, into a television. So if you've got a late model Android phone, it needs to be dual core for a start, also needs to have Android 4.0.3 operating system or later, then your device is likely to be compatible. All the latest Samsung devices, the Galaxy S3, S4, the Galaxy Note 1 or 2, the Galaxy Tab, the Galaxy Tab doesn't have the port. The Galaxy Note 8 works with it. I tested that out. We'll be reviewing that on next week's show. It also works as well. It also works on the Xperia Z. We've tested on the HTC One, the LG Optimus G, the Nexus 7 tablet. So all those Android devices, if you own one of them, using this device, and it's $99.95 from MrMobile.net.au, it can turn your device into a TV. Now, if you have a look at my story on Tech Guide, that is my hand holding the Galaxy Note 2 at ANZ Stadium, just before the Souths match started, and I was watching the Channel 9 news just to prove that it works pretty well. And I chose the Galaxy Note 2 because it's got a 5.5-inch screen, and I wanted to watch it my TV on a bigger screen. But it is a handy product. If you don't want to miss your favorite shows, you may have some downtime and you're out and about, you might want to kill some time, watch your favorite programs. Comes with a little plastic stand so you can actually rest your phone on a desk or a table and position it at a comfortable angle so you can watch your TV. One thing this ID TV won't do, though, it won't connect with an external aerial. The iPhone and iPad versions of the ID TV had a small port, a cable connection, so you could actually connect the small device to a wall plug. So if you say we'll have it using it inside in an office or in a bedroom, you can run the cable from the little ID TV dongle and plug it into the wall, the aerial wall socket. Unfortunately, with the Android version, the device is so small, it doesn't have that facility. So if you're indoors, it's not going to work really well unless you've got amazing reception where you live. I found that using Android, whenever I was outside, it worked fine. Of course, then you got to deal with problems like reflections and things like that. But usually the devices were held up pretty well. So that's just something to keep in mind. But it is very handy to have. It does turn your Android device into a TV. Once you actually connect the ID TV, you also need to download the ID TV app, and that then allows you to scan for channels and then lets you choose all the different channels. It includes all the HD channels, so it's got 9 and 90, 7 and 70, so all the SD and HD channels are there for you to watch. So basically all the Freeview channels, and there are plenty of them. So if you want to not miss a thing, the ID TV for Android is a handy product to start with. And again, you can read the full review at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
Well, last week we attended a Toshiba product launch, and it was around their new Kira range of luxury laptops. Now, these devices they're ultrabooks, so they're very thin, very light devices, and they're aimed at the top end of town. So they're made out of magnesium alloy. They've got a honeycomb base, so they're not only strong, but they're also very light. They've got the latest Intel Core processors. They've got 8 gig of RAM and 256 SSD drive, but they combine a pretty sleek design and also running Windows 8 and pretty impressive specs under the hood as well. We caught up with Toshiba's Anthony Geronimo, who wanted to have a chat and run us through the new products and the sort of customers who will buy them. Here's what he had to say.
Well, Anthony, thanks for joining us. Really great to see you again. We're here at the Toshiba launch for the new Kira Book as well as the other range of devices. The Kira Book seems to be you're positioning that at the premium end of the market. It's a premium product. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, hi, Steve. It's good to see you again. The Kira Book has been designed with the best Japanese craftsmanship in mind. If you look at every aspect of the Kira Book, it has the best technology that we can put in it, starting from the Pixel Pure display, which really allows colours and detail to leap off the screen.
Looks great.
The design, it reeks of quality, and behind that we've put a white glove service package. So when customers invest in this premium product, they know that they've got the support to back it up.
So you look after them. They're going to spend money on a product like this. It's a top of the line product. You know that the customers are going to be looked after.
That's right. They get things like a 2-year warranty out of the box. We give them their own dedicated Kira hotline. We also give them accidental damage and coverage. So if they accidentally spill a cup of coffee on their Kira book, We'll fix it.
Best if they don't do that, but good to know that they're covered anyway. But so in terms of the product, I saw during the presentation, it's obviously a combination of not only great design, but also great functionality too. So you can't have one without the other in your eye. So what sort of customer do you think is going to buy this? I know it's a sort of an inspirational product. Who do you think is going to get the Curabook?
Well, I think this is designed for a customer that wants the best of everything. They want a product that's fully functional, looks great, and they can bring it with them all the time. So if they're at work, it can keep up with them. If they're out and about, it looks the part on a cafe bench or at home when they're watching movies off it.
Absolutely. Well, the mobile computing market is really still quite a vibrant market, and the Curabook demonstrates that. But there are, obviously, you haven't neglected the rest of your customers with all your satellite range as well. And that's obviously your bread and butter. The Curabook is top of the line. But
that's right.
Tell us about the satellite range and how they're travelling.
So the satellite range this time round, we've launched around 25 products, starting from $499. So really essential technology at the right price points for the family, for the budget conscious family. Mm-hmm. We've also got features like touch built in at $699. Yeah. So people can get these new exciting technologies at quite reasonable prices. And then as you move up into our L series, we've got some really great looking thin design product. Mm-hmm. The Ultrabook right now is 18 millimetres thick.
Sure.
And the Ultrabook doesn't have things like a DVD player. Where our new L series, for 3 millimetres more, we give you a 15-inch screen, we give you a DVD player, Onkyo speakers, so you get so much more technology inside that 3 millimetres. Yeah. It's a real change.
Absolutely.
Step up.
You also mentioned touch. So touch screen on a laptop is something that's going to be seen across the range.
Yeah.
But we should also mention that you guys also make tablets and also hybrid devices. So where do you see that going this year? Like Windows tablets, you also make Android tablets. Yeah. The hybrid, though, is it kind of a product that's doing pretty well as well, isn't it?
Look, hybrid is a fairly new category to the market and it really became popular with Windows 8. We've had hybrid products since as long as I can remember. But the next evolution of hybrid is to integrate touch, integrate pen, integrate high resolution in a small form factor. So we've just released the Portage Z10 today. Mm-hmm. Which is an 11.6-inch 1080p screen. It looks really nice. It has full-featured ports, so things like HDMI, which people expect, USB 3, but also the ports that you and I might use when we're presenting, like an RGB port when you connect to a presenter.
Sure.
So with the hybrid, it's all about productivity and functionality.
Sure.
And that's where we're targeting the Z10 around.
And you also, you haven't forgotten the all-in-one market too. There's a lot of people who, despite the desktop market kind of being a bit flat at the moment, you're still offering a decent all-in-one solutions as well. Tell us about that.
Well, the all-in-one, it really now is a piece of furniture in the home. Our new all-in-one looks beautiful. It's part of our new corporate design identity. When you put it on your kitchen bench, it really does enhance your kitchen. 1080p screen, 23-inch. So it looks nice. It's got a really nice urban feel to it. Mm-hmm. So in terms of functionality, it's going to handle anything you throw at it. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the corporate design too. I noticed that Toshiba's made a decision this year to go ahead and kind of make all their products have the same kind of design look and feel.
Yeah, we think it's important that customers can walk into a store and immediately identify that that's a Toshiba product. Mm-hmm. So they look at the TV section and they'll see common design elements that are in all our notebooks, all our ones, all-in-ones, and also some TVs.
And at the retail level, there's an effort to cut through all the clutter with, there's a range of other notebooks and ultrabooks in the market. How's Toshiba going to stand up above that and distinguish themselves to the customer?
Yeah, look, I think the most important thing that we can deliver to customers is quality and reliability. Toshiba's invented the notebook 28 years ago, and we're consistently the most reliable, and people understand that. So we may have all these new products that can do different things depending on what the customer wants to do, but it has to have that underlying value of being reliable, and it's got to come with them.
Thank you. Anthony, appreciate your time.
Thank you.
answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
And it's that part of the program where you can pose your questions and allow us to answer them right here on the Tech Guide podcast. In this instance, we're discussing a topic that I have received a few questions about. So on radio, I've had these questions as well. And it's from concerned parents who are under pressure to give their child a mobile phone, and the pressure usually coming from the child themselves, so that's no surprise. But also too, the pressure can also come from other kids. You know, like your child may walk in, well, my friend's got a phone, why can't I have a phone? It's a real challenge for parents to decide the right time for their child to own a smartphone, a mobile phone. I don't think they're going to want an old feature phone, a dumb phone, for want of a better word. They're going to want a smartphone. So I thought we'd give some thought on what I think is the right time. And this is what I believe to be what worked for me and my three children. I think there's a lot of parents out there who are tempted to give their child a device when they're in primary school. I have to disagree. I think a child in primary school is probably too young to handle the responsibility of a mobile phone. I think it's more a toy than a communication device for them. The possibility of running up big bills because they're downloading apps and in-app purchases, I think it's a recipe for disaster. When you think a primary school student, most primary school students, and this was the case with my own children, are dropped off in the morning, they're supervised all during the day, they're also picked up at the end of the school day, and there's really no need to have a device or any time to use that device during the day. Now, again, if your child, a primary school age student, has to catch public transport or, you know, has to be alone for certain periods of time, then by all means, if you're comfortable handing them a phone, then that is probably the right decision. But I think any other case, you're just going to, all you're getting is a bill, and the child is probably missing out on the opportunity to mix with their friends, have a lot of fun. They're primary school kids. They're supposed to be outside. They're supposed to be playing, making friends they're going to have for life, attending birthday parties every weekend, not having their noses buried in a smartphone. Well, as your child grows, and as was the case with my kids, I've got three teenage kids at the moment, as was the tradition in the Fennec family, my kids received their mobile phone when they started high school, when they were 12. Reason being, couple of reasons, they were old enough to handle the responsibility and they were catching public transport, so really needed to be in contact. They may miss the bus or have after school activities and they could be in contact with me and my wife. So a lot of parents out there who got high school age kids, I think it's kind of a rite of passage. You're starting high school, then you're probably old enough to handle a smartphone. But I think that's not the end of the story, though. You are handing a 12-year-old basically a mini computer that they're going to carry around. So not only can it make calls and texts and access apps, it all can also access the internet. Now, it wasn't so long ago that the only way that kids could access the internet at home was through the family computer. And as was the case in my place, and probably in many places, households around the world and around Australia especially, that computer was placed in a central place so that you could supervise what your kids are up to online, see what they're up to, who see who they're chatting to, and make sure they're not accessing any inappropriate content. Well, a lot of parents forget the fact that the smartphone they've just given their child basically does the same thing. And in a more portable and easier way. And if that could be many instances where the child takes it in their bedroom and they may be accessing content, maybe not. But I think it's something that the parents, if they do want to supervise their kids online, the smartphone is included in that supervision. Another problem too, recent studies have shown this, is that teenage kids with smartphones are suffering sometimes from a lack of sleep. They're up all night, they're texting, they're on Facebook, they're waiting for the next message to arrive, they're tweeting, they're putting photos up on Instagram, but they're not getting to sleep. A lot of them are staying up well beyond their bedtime, they've got their phones with them in their bed, and they're missing out on that sleep. The next day they're at school, they're a zombie, they haven't had enough sleep. That's another issue that parents really have to address. So I think best advice, set some rules for your kids. Give them a phone, say, look, we trust you to use this device, we trust you to use it in the right way. You know, there may be a rule where the parent can ask to look at the phone whenever they want to make sure their child isn't accessing inappropriate material and using it in the wrong way. They can maybe see who they're chatting with, see what they're posting online. So there may be that possibility as well. But I think set the rules. Don't let them take it into their bedroom. Perhaps make sure when it's bedtime, it's switched off, it's downstairs or wherever it is, away from them, so they're actually getting some sleep. So it is a tough decision, trying to decide the right age to give your kid, your child, your son or your daughter, a smartphone. But there's not one answer that fits everyone. Everyone's different. Everyone has different opinions. But I think hopefully some of these things that I've mentioned here may help you and guide you in coming up with that right decision and finding the right age to give your child a mobile. There's going to come a day, no doubt about it. It is as certain as the sunrise, your child is one day going to want a smartphone. The percentage of kids that own smartphones between the ages of 9 and 11, I think, is 1 in 4 children own a smartphone. And when they're from 12 to 16, so high school age kids, it jumps up to 75%. So that's 20%, 9 to 11. That's 1 in 5. That jumps for 12 to 14-year-olds to 75%. And as they get older, of course, that'll get up to 100%. Because if you a teenager without a smartphone, I think that's something that doesn't exist. Every teenager has got a smartphone. So, yeah, make the right choice. Get your kids involved in the decision. Tell them, set down the ground rules and make sure they don't overspend on the bill. Another good reason to have a mobile phone is to teach them the value of the dollar there. So, yeah, this is an issue I've written about at Tech Guide. I've written a blog about it down the bottom of the site. There's plenty of those tips I've spoken about. So if you need any help in making a decision, you may want to give that one a read. And that brings this week's show to a close. Geez, time flies when you're having fun. Anything you've heard about in this episode, you can read it at techguide.com.au. I mentioned that a few times tonight that you can do that. You can get in touch with us by emailing us at info@techguide.com.au. Please send us your help desk questions. We love to hear from our readers. You may have need some advice on a product. You may already have a product. You're having a problem. You may need to find out the right age to buy your kids certain things, as we discuss with the phones tonight, so feel free to get in touch. A big thank you too to our sponsors Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. Thanks for joining us for Tech Guide episode 46. We look forward to your company next week, so in the meantime, stay safe and stay connected.